This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Parenting Uncovered. We've got a great guest today. We've got Dr. Autumn Swain. She's the author of the book, The Playground Leader, which if you're watching on YouTube, I'm holding up right now.
Yes.
She was kind enough to send us a copy of this book, and it is a fascinating, helpful, and practical read. So much in here, and so we wanted to have her on just to unpack some of the principles in this, which I think could really make a difference in bringing health, peace, growth to your kids, but really to your whole family, and to kind of change the culture and climate of your home in a way that's going to benefit everybody. So she's got a lot of great research to share with us, some great insights. So, sweetie, before we dive into the conversation, tell our listeners a little bit about Dr. Swain.
I will. Dr. Autumn Swain began her work in leadership and community development almost 20 years ago in grassroots faith-based community development work while also pursuing impact through helping leaders make progress towards greater personal shalom, which you know is near and dear to my heart, as a health coach. And part of her inspiration comes from the fact that she ultimately understands one of the greatest assets in our communities is you, in all caps, the transformational leader. She is also mom to two boys and she's married. Autumn, welcome so much to welcome to the podcast. We are so excited to have you here. You know, when I was looking at your Instagram, I told Dave, I'm like, man, she could talk about so many things. Like,
yeah.
You really have. And we'll give you a chance at the end to let people know how to follow you, because it is. Like, you put out such helpful content, you know, for parents and in their parenting, obviously, but also just in health and wholeness and just a really comprehensive approach to living your best life. So I'm really excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is an honor. Well, before we dive into the book, tell us just a little bit about your family, your two boys, your husband. What is life like in the Swain house right now?
Well, I happen to have two boys that are incredibly active. Mm-hmm. And so outside of my passion for pursuing my own work, I just really try to be intentional when I'm with them in, you know, integrating the things in this book in our lives. And so that looks like I happen to live in intentionally in an apartment community where we do events for our community. We intentionally, like with my kids, are on mission to love our neighbors, to have events to help address this loneliness epidemic that we're in and help people make connections. So in addition to like the things you would imagine, like sports, we're a big basketball family. We just really try to create space to live intentionally, like be good friends, be good neighbors, you know, things like that. That's a big part of our life as well.
I love it.
I love that. And it really is such a challenge, I think, to all of us in the world we live in today, because I was actually just having a conversation with a dear friend of mine who really lives intentionally like you're describing and always has with her family. And I was talking about how, you know, we live in a just a suburban neighborhood. And I was telling her how, you know, some of our neighbors are really, really like, we know them and we'll talk to them and things. But then others, you can just tell they do not want you to talk to them, and how it's hard sometimes. And not that I'm guilting anyone, because I get it. I said, you know, this one neighbor that immediately closes her garage door when she gets home. And so I like literally never see her. I told my friend, I said, I bet she's just overwhelmed. Like maybe she's being social all day and it's just too much to even have somebody enter in. But I do, like I love that you speak to this, because I feel like it is important to teach our kids this, because it's kind of lost. I feel like, you know, it's crazy that this is something that we do have to be intentional about, but we do. And like when you meet someone like your sweet family who is being intentional about loving well, like loving neighbors well, it's like it kind of almost takes you back, because it's such a it's a thing you just don't see a lot, tragically. So, yeah, I would love to know more specifically about how you do that. Like maybe some specific examples.
Yeah, and I will share this brief little story just as a word of encouragement as well, because I was at my son's basketball practice and talking to this mom about my book and how we need margin in our lives and so on and so forth. So I live in Northern Virginia, like the DC metro area. So it's like highly, highly competitive, intense, on the go type culture. And she was just saying, I just feel like this pressure to have to sign my kid up for everything and do all these things. And I said, but why? For what?
Yeah.
You know, you got to do what's best for your family. And what are your values? What are your priorities? Because if you talk to most parents, you know, I would imagine that one of the most important things to them is they want their kids to be good human beings, leaders, confident, all of these things, healthy and well, you know, so it's counter to this culture of, my kids at 5 years old should be learning six instruments and playing 75 sports. And you know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's like dialing it back and saying, okay, if you kind of shut out the outside noise first and evaluate, like, what is like most important? What do I want to create margin for? And that's, you know, in this book, I wanted to inspire parents to, and anybody that works with young people, right? Coaches and teachers and so forth, to say like, okay, these things really are important. So where are my priorities? Maybe we got to shift a little bit to have margin to invest in these things. I know you asked practically what that looks like for us, but then also then decide, okay, what are some of these other things that, you know, and even when you have your kids and other things, let's say, you know, basketball for us, you know, I grew up playing basketball as my kids play. Don't treat it just as a sport, but use it as an opportunity when your kids are disappointed about something or when they have to do something they don't like, to take the time to dig in to help them look at that situation through lenses of character and leadership development, right? It takes time on our part. And so then that would also tie into the fact that we can't be so rushed in life, right? We need to take a deep breath and pause and like take advantage of these opportunities to really pour into them. And so practically what that looks like for me, to get back to your question, because I do that, I'll go here and come back full circle. It's kind of helpful for us because we are with like an actual like nonprofit that's about like loving your neighbor and stuff. So it's built into our daily rhythms as volunteer, but it's built into our daily rhythms already. But even if you're not, it's just being intentional. It's leaving enough space in your life to notice the people around you. Like we talk about it, we notice the people around you. And I started out in community development before I had kids. So it's really important to me that we also notice people on the margins,
yes,
because that is like near and dear to my heart. And I could talk about that all day. That's actually the vision for this book was initially sparked, was before I became a parent, because I was working with youth and wanting to see them develop and achieve their greatest potential. And I knew there was this gap because we weren't taking a holistic approach. But so just being intentional about noticing people and seeing people. And then, you know, we can't spend time with everybody, but, you know, you could prayerfully say, like, who are we supposed to invest in more intentionally together? And that could be opening up your home.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be clean. It doesn't need to be big. Mm-hmm. You know, just like bringing people in and creating space for people to feel connected. So that's a big one. I think it's also another practical example, I think, could be taking advantage of those teaching moments.
Yeah.
When you have an opportunity, when you're like on the go, but something happened, making sure you don't miss out on the opportunity to talk through it with your kids and like what just happened. And, you know, maybe let's say there's a kid that's really getting on your son's nerves and they're doing things that maybe your kid wouldn't do, but taking the time to help them build their empathy muscles and their compassion muscles for maybe what's going on in their life, to see that situation differently too, instead of just rushing past it, you know? And so that's just a couple examples.
That's so good.
I love that. And it's a great reminder to don't lose track of that, like to keep coming back to,
yeah,
not wasting the moments, you know.
And it is, mm-hmm, is like novel an idea and revolutionary an idea as that sounds in, mm-hmm, our rushed culture. Really, it's what Jesus lived and modeled.
Yes.
So
yes,
for, you know, for any of us who are doing our best to follow Jesus, it's like this should seem normal. Like these should be the things that we're all just say, yeah, that's what we should be about. building community and looking out for others. And
so, not being so rushed. I mean, yeah. I hear that. Like, I think that we've had to really wrestle with that over the years, because you're so right. I feel like we, as parents, and depending on where you live too, because I do think certain communities are more high driving than other communities. But there, you know, you can kind of sometimes feel like, oh my gosh, my child's going to be behind if I don't have them in, you know, like you said, language classes at, you know, age three or whatever, you know, like, oh my gosh, they'll never learn it. Like, they'll never have the bright future that they could have. And I mean, that's a great desire to want to give our kids the best, obviously. But I think sometimes we do just, we're missing it if we have no margin and we just can't even, you know, have a moment to love our neighbor and to help somebody else, to show our kids that. I mean, that's you know, revolutionary in our kids' lives. And that's teaching them, really, I mean, that's showing them Jesus, I feel like, when we do that.
Yeah,
so it's important to
equipping them
that.
With the desire to seek peace and margin all of their life in a world that's only going to get busier and only going to get crazier.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's so many questions I have. I want to ask specifically in a minute about how you get your kids to eat healthy, because that's like, you could write a whole book on that. Because, I mean... So before we jump in there, though, just rewind and tell us kind of the vision for this book, because as we were talking beforehand, where you thought you were going in terms of your training, your specialty, your expertise was kind of in another direction. And then the vision for this book came into focus. And I'm so glad that it did, because it's such a helpful resource. But tell us that story, the genesis of this whole project.
Yeah, I would love to, because I actually love sharing the story, because it's just such a God story, how divinely, you know, things line up. But don't forget to ask me that question about how to get my kids to be healthy, because people ask me that all the time. They don't like the answer. No. They don't.
Hey, that's okay. We got to hear the hard answers.
I have a feeling it's going to require us eating healthy. So
that's true. Modeling.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of pieces to the answer. It's funny, because, you know, in my book, The Playground Leader, obviously, like, that is a big part of the focus of this book, is lead from the front. Like, single, as a matter of fact, I had several friends who don't have kids. They're like the young professionals, neighbors of mine that I met, amazing people that read this book, don't even have kids and got so much out of it, right? Because we as adults need to be leading from the front. So yes, but back to just kind of the original vision for this book. I believe, even though I didn't know I'd write a book about it, the seeds were planted in my early 20s. It was after I had kids that specifically God was like, write this book. I'm like, okay. It wasn't what I was expecting, but the seeds for it, just to give you a little background. So, when I was in my early 20s, I got really, really involved. My first job out of undergrad, I was working for an organization called Nehemiah Center for Urban Leadership Development. And I got thrown into, I never had a moment where like, oh, I'm going to work with youth. I'm going to love teenagers and pouring into them. Like, that was never a specific vision of mine, but I loved this organization. And that was the gap they had to fill.
Yeah.
So I ended up, and I don't always tell that part of the story always, but that's what happened. And so I'm like, yes, like, I just want to get connected. So I really just took what intuitively I knew was important, right? Like, my personal shalom, I've always been into like health and wellness and fitness. And, you know, even as a kid, I was really into spiritual disciplines and all of that stuff, like, and just trying to be mentally and emotionally well. So that was intuitive to me. So even though a big part of our mission was to like, decrease the achievement gap. Most of the youth and families that I worked with were lower income, under-resourced. And so, but I saw like crazy potential, and I loved what I was doing and getting to know all of these kids and their families. But I knew that the core of the issue wasn't academics. Like, yes, academics are important, and yes, you need to work at it. One of Jaden's basketball coaches always said, like, what's the answer? What's the solution? You work at it. You got to work at it.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, what is our core foundation that needs to be developed, right? So when I did my dissertation research, my argument in, like, achieving more wholeness or alignment was we have to look at all six components: our spiritual wellness, our physical wellness, mental, emotional, social, and economic. Because to find true alignment and to be functioning out of a place of, you know, energy and vitality and all the things, you need to have alignment, right? So, but even before, I wasn't in my doctorate program at that point when I was working with this organization, but I knew that in order for us to have more effective approaches to really developing these young people as leaders, because I saw them as leaders. Yes. That was the thing that broke my heart. I was in my early 20s and I was seeing other adults around me not seeing these kids that were falling through the cracks. They weren't seeing them for the potential that they had and not seeing them as leaders for today. It was like teenagers, it was that age where they're just like, let's just, you know, do what we can. And so the ones that seem like they have some hope, like, hopefully they'll be leaders as adults. And I'm like, no. And yeah. It just was like just tugging at my heartstrings. And so I personally, because I was basically in charge of creating whatever collaborations I wanted to, whatever program I wanted to, like my college prep program looked very different. It wasn't just about an ACT test. It was about, you know, exposing them to this bigger picture of what was possible and working on developing them as leaders more holistically. And some of these kids, it was the first time they heard somebody telling them what they were capable of. Now, how is that directly applicable to this book that's for all, you know, because some people read this book and their parents that are constantly telling their kids how great they are and how much potential they have, but still, like, we underestimate how much our kids need reinforcement that they are leaders for today, that they do have in them, like read about it in 2 Timothy, right? I think it's 2 Timothy, 1st or 2nd, one of them, where, you know, don't let people look down on you because you are young. Like, you have so much to offer this world. And so, so the vision for this book started because I knew that we needed a more holistic approach to developing those young people that I was working with for today. And then it became apparent, and I'm like, what do I want for my own kids? You know, and what a better way to reach the masses to put all the stuff in a book, you know, because then anybody can have access to it in some way, shape, or form. And I did take the time to do the audio book too, because I'm like, I love to read physical books, but a lot of my peers who are parents are like on the go. They're like, I don't read, but I'll listen to something.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, hopefully that answers your question
a little bit.
Of course. Okay.
And it's just rich. The whole book is just rich in wisdom and practical insight and some reminders of things that you might know but have stopped doing, and then some fresh insights that you've probably never thought of before that were really, really helpful. So coming back to the healthy food question, because you guys are a healthy family. I mean, mind, body, soul. But in our world of just kind of like video games and processed foods and all of the things that can sabotage health for kids when they're growing up, you found a way to really get your kids on this healthy path from a very young age. And you talk about it in the book, so I already know. I know what some of the answer is going to be. But I just know for myself and for many who are listening, that's kind of a battle at home.
It is. And maybe for some children and not others within the same family. But yes, I want to know your answer, even if it's a hard one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so for me,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The definition of wellness or well-being or health is holistic, though.
Yes.
So it starts with, so even when I used to do a lot more health coaching, sometimes I couldn't tap, depending on a person's background, I couldn't tap into the spiritual aspect of things. But like all things, even what we eat is a spiritual formation practice, right? Like that's our foundation. We have the spiritual formation and health, that's part of health that informs our mental, our emotional, our social, our physical, and so on and so forth. So when you look at it, it's like almost like an act of worship in a way, like this is so important for me to achieve my greatest potential, for my kids to achieve their greatest potential, is to be healthy, right? Like, because physical health, if you don't have it, everything else is going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle.
You're so right. Yeah.
I will tell you, I hate being tired. Like, to me, it's like the worst feeling in the world. So I will do whatever I gotta do to not be tired. I don't want my kids to be dragging because they're not eating well either. I mean, it's just all of these things that have just given me a strong why. Because let me tell you, I love to eat good tasting food. I don't like to cook, right? Like, I love to eat healthy. I don't like to cook. I think a lot of times people assume that if you're making these like delicious, healthy meals for your family, oh, that person must love to be in the kitchen. I try to get in and out in 30 minutes. Yeah. Like, it is not my favorite place to be, but to be healthy is an amazing place to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how do I get my kids there? And let me tell you, if you didn't start when they were young, there's still so much hope, but you have to be firm, just yes. like you are with anything else. And so what I tell people is my kids did not have a choice.
Right. Right.
Why are you cooking two separate meals? Like, it's like one of those things, like, you're the parent. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just have to make boundaries that you're going to stand by, and it's going to be hard at first.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But then your kids, but then exactly. And then your kids get used to it. So there's three parts to this answer. So one, you just have to be firm. Two, like, explore making things healthy. Like, my food tastes really good because I use lots of healthy like herbs and seasonings and things. So you have to take the time to like make things taste good. Your kids are going to more likely want to eat it, right? If it tastes good, that's just common sense, but makes sense. Like, just, and it doesn't have to be overly complicated either. And then the third thing is, even if your kids are smaller, they have the capacity to understand why you eat healthy, right? Yeah. Like, they're observant. They see what different kids are eating for lunch, and they're old enough for you to explain to them, like, when you put things in your body, what happens, and so on and so forth. It doesn't mean my kids still like ice cream, they still like pizza and all of that, but they understand that those things, like, if you eat too much of them, that they'll be harmful on your body. Right. So sometimes we, for some reason, we just don't think our kids are capable of actually like comprehending the why behind these things. Like, why do we do these things? Right. Like, you know, they will understand. It might take some reinforcing, right? Because the instant gratification of maybe wanting this versus maybe having less of that or whatnot. But that's, I mean, it sounds so simple, but to be honest, that's the approach that I took.
I honestly, it sometimes, simple doesn't mean easy, but simple is practical, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that it's so true. Like, I don't know why. And we've been guilty of this. We've had seasons where we did the separate meal and then we were like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
this is so silly.
Yeah,
why are we doing this?
We reinforced the,
like, our youngest, he's been the hardest because like all of our kids, we have four boys. And our older three, they like broccoli. And like you said, if you find the right seasoning that resonates with them that they like, I mean, they'll eat just about anything. But like Chatham, I think we got lazy.
I think I got old. I think by the time he came along, I was just so tired.
We're like, we'll make you the nuggets.
I mean,
I mean, we're getting the healthy nuggets in quotations.
He started smoking cigarettes in preschool.
He did not.
It's fine. Just let him.
He's doing good, but I will tell you, I felt really convicted about this lately. And I told him, I said, listen, because he's a big snacker. And I told Dave, I'm like, we have got to stop buying so many snacks. I mean, they're not horrible, but if you eat like a bunch of them, they're bad. Like you said, I mean, pizza's not in and of itself bad, but it's like, you're not going to feel good if you're eating so much of it, just like with, he loves Goldfish crackers. Like, he just loves them. And I really talked to him, and I actually talked to him about trans fats. And I mean, he's 8 years old, and I just described about your heart. And I talked about, I mean, not that I am like an expert on this, but I just know the basics. And I was like, you know, we have people in our family who've had heart difficulties, and like, I'm just trying to protect your heart. And what's interesting is, and I said, and I'm challenging myself on this too. I love popcorn or chips, and I'm just challenging myself to not eat so many popcorn or chips. And so we kind of are in this thing together. And he actually yesterday was like, have you had any popcorn or chips today, Mom? And I was like, no, I'm going to pick fruit instead.
He's not taking Goldfish. And he's like, I'm going to take,
one of those squeezable
like
applesauce things. And he did. And he's like, where are my squeezable applesauces? I mean, I'm trying to do better. So I think, you know, you're so right, Autumn, that we really don't need to count our kids out. Like, we can, this can resonate with them. And we just need to stick to our guns though. Like, we have to put our big girl and big boy pants on and be parents.
Yep, absolutely. Yep,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you brought up a really good point. I'll be really quick so we don't have to stay on this subject. But one, as parents too, we also just got to keep some stuff out of the house, yes. Be honest.
Yes.
Like, you just got to keep it out of the house. Just don't buy it. Just keep it out of the house. And then also the other thing too, like even when I make my kids lunch for school, which they know why, just because it's healthier, so on and so forth. Yeah. But also I dish their plates because they know we eat like half of our plate is veggies. Yeah. Like I don't let them dish their plates. Mm-hmm. I dish their plate. Like, yeah. Yes, we want to teach independence. Yes, we want our kids. And granted, I don't have teenagers yet. They're 6 and 9.
Yeah.
But like, there's so many other ways I'm teaching them independence and, you know, creative thinking and asking good questions and all of that. But for this case, I'm like, this is what's on your plate and this is why.
Yeah.
How many,
yeah,
Whole Foods are here, you know? And so
no,
that's just
it's so smart. And it honestly though, like you said, we're dishing it, we're showing them, that becomes normal. It's normalized for them. Like, well, this is how you eat. And I feel good,
exactly,
when I eat this way. And so, yeah, I love it. We could talk on and on. Cause that is, there's so much, this book is so rich. And I want to say real quick too, I used to teach, and my teacher heart just, it loves how you organize this book. It's very like, because you do it with the ABCs.
Yeah, it's so organized.
It's just so cool.
It's visually very,
it just really makes sense and it's laid out really well and just rich of content. So you guys watching on YouTube, you can see the book on here, but before the last word, we'll go to Autumn and we'll let you know where people can find you and get the book. But I just wanted to show people, it's an awesome book. It's got a lot of content in it.
Or like she said, if you prefer the audiobook.
Or the audiobook,
because you're listening,
right,
now, you clearly like listening. And
which I like both. Some books I read.
I know. I like both.
And some books I listen.
So stick around. Good. But first, it is that time of the episode where you get a fascinating fact from Ashley and a dad joke from Dave. So let's hear a fascinating parenting fact, my love.
Okay, this one is very interesting, and it's from listfirst.com, talking about interesting parenting facts. It said, sometime in 1913, the United States Postal Service introduced a parcel delivery service. Besides sending letters to people, you could now send gifts to people. Okay, we all know this is like a normal thing for us today, but this was in 1913. Mm-hmm. So there was a new age born, but it had unintended consequences, because just a few weeks after the parcel services began, an Ohio couple named Jesse and Matilda Beagle mailed, in quotation marks, their 8-month-old son James to his grandmother, who lived just a few miles away in Batavia. The fact that the story gained popularity did not reduce similar occurrences. So this wasn't just
people
a one-time.
Would mail their
I'm
babies?
Not even kidding. In fact, it inspired more occurrences. In one famous case, a 4-year-old girl was, in quotation marks, mailed via train across a distance of 73 miles. While we admit that this scandal has a good side in a sense that it showed us that American mail workers could be trusted with children, we're disappointed that parents felt like this was an okay thing to do.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That's so, I mean,
if like FedEx,
what,
would just come and pick up your,
I'm,
child,
serious,
and say, take them to their aunt's house in California.
That is crazy.
That's,
you know,
wild.
It's wild, but it actually happened anyway.
I know.
Yeah.
I read stories like that and I'm like, I'm not such a bad parent. Like, I think that, I think sometimes we just need those stories of like, you know, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I've never mailed one. All right. So.
All right. What's the dad joke?
Dad joke today I got from our producer, Taiwan.
Of course. He's a master.
Yeah, he is. What do you call two monkeys who share the same Amazon account?
I don't know. What do you call them?
Prime mates.
Oh, prime,
prime
mates. Oh, chuckle.
So
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. All right. So.
All right. We got to swing this thing back up because we're
going to
let Autumn, Dr. Autumn, have the last word.
So, Dr. Autumn Swain, thank you again for being on the program. And before we sign off, tell people where they can find you online, if you want to give your home address, cell phone number, social security number, if you want to get that personal, probably not. But
no.
If you want to give them social media, you're a great follow. And
yeah.
And I want to put a bug in your ear to like think about starting a playground leader boot camp for children that parents can send their kids to for 6 weeks to learn how to eat, to learn how to be a leader. I'm telling you, that would take off. So just feel free to use that.
That's so funny. That is so funny.
But tell folks where they can connect with you.
Yes.
Oh, very good. And then I'll end with a word of encouragement too. So
wonderful.
My website is thealignedleader.org. If you / author, you'll get right to my book, and you'll be able to click on any links that wherever you might want to find it. As far as contacting me, you could email me through my website, at my Instagram, which goes also to my Facebook, but my Instagram's at Dr. Autumn Swain, so Dr. Autumn Swain, and you can message me there. I also see those. So those are two places you could locate me and find out more information. I believe on my author tab on my website, I also have like a marketing video that goes a little bit more into the vision behind the book and some additional things that you can get out of the book. So, but my word of encouragement is when you read the book or listen to it and you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, you're like, I feel like I'm at my max. Like, how am I going to go about integrating these things into my life, right? I wrote this book out of a deep passion to help and serve our young people, but also the adults reading it. So where do you go? And this is where I challenge you, and this is also a lot of my Instagram content comes from, is to make sure you create margin for your own well-being. Because when you are feeling good, this is where the whole align leader concept comes from. When you're feeling good, you have more energy and so forth, you will be able to more easily navigate integrating some of these principles from this book. And also, I encourage people just to take away a couple gold nuggets at a time and extend grace to yourself. You might want to do a whole bunch of things and make different changes. Say, okay, I'm going to focus on one or two things, work through them, and then move on to one or two more things and make sure I'm not sacrificing my self-care in the meantime. Sure. Again, you're leading from the front. You want your kids to take care of themselves. You need to do it as well. And so you will be so happy when you do.
It's so true. What a great
words of wisdom. That we needed this.
Yes, I know. It's been so good. So thank you so much, Dr. Autumn. We're really grateful to have you on the podcast. And those of you listening and watching, make sure you go get the Playground Leader. And also definitely follow Dr. Autumn Swain on Instagram. You'll learn so much. And we hope to see you all next time.